Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 16. Krishna chastises the serpent Kaliya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sisuka Uvasa. Lokya Dishtitam Krishnam. Krishna Krishna Hinat Vibhu. Sasyaktishudham Anvicham. Sarpantam Udavasaya. Sukadeva Goswami said, Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, seeing that the desire to purify the river and thus banished him from it. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shilakaya Saksirinmritam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Siddhati Chapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Purubhyasya Vipasindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from Govardhan. I arrived in Govardhan yesterday, the sacred mount that Krishna lifted with the pinky of his left hand, as an elephant holding a lotus. My desk is facing Govardhan. I arrived yesterday, and there were torrential rains in Vrindavan. Even one of my friend's houses got completely washed away. And the water had an effect on my place here also. Of course, the water, it didn't flood here. This is not near the Jamuna. But I don't know, the roof couldn't hold all the water and kind of leaked through the walls a bit. But when I got here, I spent all day just fixing the place up, getting settled. Vrindavan is a wonderful place. You know, it's described there in the Krishna book, and the revelation I had here. You know, Vrindavan is becoming covered. I mean, the cell phone towers here in Govardhan. I mean, there's an suburban crawl. The government was widening the roads in the way, I don't know what they do. They just eminent domain. They just destroyed houses that were on the road and, you know, kind of left things in a shambles. So many things I was just worried about coming, how Vrindavan would be affected. But there's something here beyond the external that's just so powerful. And, you know, when I came, it was just Vrindavan. And Vrindavan, it's not just the external place. it's the bhava or the devotion which the people who live here, who really live here and practice Krishna consciousness, have. And it was just so nice. Even when I was coming, I was going to, you know, first figure out where I'm going to eat. So actually, when I came, first thing I did, which I always did, I settled into my place, and then I went to the Jamuna and bathed and Keshi got, and just everything was just very wonderful exchanges. And then when I was walking back from Keshi got, I kind of thought, like, okay, what's my eating arrangement here? And I thought, well, why don't I just depend on Krishna? And whatever God sends me, that's what I'll eat. That's a nice way to live in Vrindavan. And that's the mood of the traditional sannyasi in the days of yore. Why would he leave home? Because in the traditional sannyas, the traditional renunciation, they would just wander through God's creation. And as they're wandering through God's creation and not having any opportunity to organize the world for their own maintenance and sustenance, when that maintenance and sustenance comes, they can see it directly as coming from God. It's always coming from God. We make some endeavor, that's our duty, but actually it's coming from God. And when we can't make any endeavor, it still comes by God's grace. And so it's really interesting. So I thought, okay, let me live in Vrindavan this way, you know, and live renounced. But instead of living renounced, I mean, people are feeding me seven times a day or something. As soon as I came by, I was walking back, and I saw a god brother who was who actually designed the NGT and the Mayapur, and immediately he saw me. He said, "Come for lunch," and then he came to the restaurant manager and said, "Whenever he wants to come here, just send me the bill. Of course, I won't take avail of that opportunity." It's so nice. And then I walked into my place in Vrindavan. I always consider in Vrindavan, I always try to see who is the first person I see that I recognize. So when I came into my place, some of you know where I live, that little cul-de-sac where Balaram Baba has his ashram. And he came in, he's just so welcoming, and then told me, he said, "Please come take prasadam." He does things feeding people. And then just so nice, giving my class in the evening. I was doing the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, which is the section we are, but I was going even further, which was wonderful, inspiring about Krishna's love for the residents of Vrindavan. And when he hears the level of their distress, Balaram is telling him the level of their distress of the residents of Vrindavan, that the fact that Krishna killed the Kaliya's serpent has become a source of misery for the residents of Vrindavan, because in separation from Krishna, they want to take their lives. And they're lamenting that Krishna took the facility of suicide, that the poison in the Jamuna, where that dangerous serpent had lived and polluted, had afforded them. They're lamenting they're lamenting that Govardhan has shrunken in separation. And it described that, here I am at Govardhan, but the original descriptions was that Govardhan was so high that its peaks were just naturally cutting the wings of the eagles that were flying in the sky. And they were lamenting They were lamenting that they could not no longer jump over off of Govardhan Hill as an affordable opportunity to commit suicide. So Krishna's hearing from Balaram, this is the state of the residents of Vrindavan in separation of Krishna, because what Vrindavan means is that the shakti or potency of devotion or love is flowing to the highest degree, and therefore towards Krishna, towards that absolute reality, which is the natural repose of devotion. It's the fullest repose of devotion or love, because there is nothing outside of the absolute reality. So if one wants their love or devotion to be reposed to the greatest extent, that's God, who is inclusive of everything. So that loving potency in Vrindavan, it's flowing to the highest degree, and the force of that river of devotion is also assisted by the sense of separation from Krishna. And that sense of separation from Krishna is always there, because even when they are in association with Krishna, they feel he may leave. When he goes to the forest at night, when he goes to the forest during the day, their day turns as bleak as night. And even if they're fortunate enough to be the cowherd boys who go through the forests of Vrindavan with Krishna, when they're sometimes seeing him go by herding the cows through the forest, every time Krishna momentarily disappears behind a tree, they yell, "Krishna, Krishna." And that is the epitome of kirtan. The separation. And what that kirtan must sound like. Kirtan is not just lips, or even singing is not just lips. Singing is also heart. And the heart makes the lips beautiful. That's real singing. That's real kirtan, when it's imbued with that feeling. So what does that kirtan sound like in Vrindavan when the cowherd boys are saying, "Krishna, Krishna," in separation from Krishna? I've finished my article, "Hearing Yoga Made Easy by Music, How Kirtan Works." And the next article that I will write is Nam-Kirtan, the Essence of the Bhagavatam. I spoke about this at the Kirtan retreat in Croatia. But one thing I want to show, how the Bhagavatam promotes kirtan, but when it describes the pastimes of Krishna, really Nam-Kirtan is the main spiritual activity of the residents of Vrindavan during the morning. It's the main spiritual activity of the residents of Vrindavan when they're with Krishna during the day. And it's the main spiritual activity when Krishna is returning from the forest and coming home. It's the kirtan, but it's the main expression of love or devotion. Someone, we naturally talk about them. In fact, if you love someone, you cannot stop talking about them. I was once in the garden in Dallas, Texas. Prabhupada, if people know what the temple is like there, they just own a whole city block, and it's a big school turned into a temple. It was an old school that was and church turned into a temple. And then around it, on the rest of the block, are different houses which the devotees own. This is way back. And the backyards of those houses kind of adjacent to the temple, so Prabhupada would go into one of the gardens in the evening, and Prabhupada would listen to Krishna book. He would listen to the pastimes of Krishna. And there was one pastime where the gopis were just criticized. In so many ways, and Prabhupada was laughing. They were angry with Krishna, but he was laughing. They cannot stop speaking about Krishna. Just they love. I see that. Sometimes people come for counseling, and sometimes a person's very upset because someone jilted them, and then the person starts criticizing the person that jilted them. You can understand they're still in love. They're still in love. And that's why a person who is advanced in Krishna consciousness, advanced in Krishna consciousness, is one who is glorifying Krishna. That's the symptom that you want to chant and hear about Krishna. It is the sadhya, it is the goal, it is also the sadhana, it is also the practice. It's the goal, and it is the practice. It's the goal, because those who are perfected, out of love they glorify Krishna, and those who aspire for perfection, out of a desire to attain that love, they glorify Krishna. And when you have the aspiration to follow a resident of Vrindavan, and that's called Raganuga Bhakti, that's spontaneous devotion. It's not a devotion that is guided by obligation or duty. It's a devotional practice that's guided by love and spiritual aspiration. And the main activity of someone who's practicing at the level of spontaneous devotion is he follows the residents of Vrindavan. They're glorifying Krishna out of love, and you follow them by glorifying Krishna to attain that love. So that's the main practice of, and that's why it's so nice that there are people in Vrindavan that love Krishna. It may be covered. And what to speak of all the also to honor Ayendra Prabhu, who did 24-hour kirtan for 24 years straight. That takes spiritual potency. It never stops. Just like there's in Radharaman in the kitchen is a one of the main temples of Vrindavan. There's a lamp that they use for the deities or the light of things. And the lamp's been going. They've been keeping it going for hundreds of years or something like that. But they keep kirtan going. So what I was doing to honor Ayendra Prabhu and honor the kirtan, it's the 24th anniversary this year, I would go twice a day when I was in Vrindavan. And it's so, that's really nice in the morning, 10:30 in the morning. I would go and sit there for an hour in kirtan. It's beautiful, you know, the deities are open, and Kinshina Krishna Das, and Nam Das, and so many nice kirtaneers. And then in the evening, somehow or other, the spirit is still there, and people are doing kirtan. Because that's what Vrindavan means. That's what, when you're talking about a holy place is a holy place, because it inspires one to glorify God. And that vibration, that vibration actually, it affects the atmosphere in a very special way. So they have that kirtan mandala, So for 24 years, 24 hours a day, pure nam kirtan has been going on. And that place has such an effect. It was just really edifying, you know, to be back. I lived in Vrindavan most of my life, actually. I'm 60, so 35 years I've been in Vrindavan. And most of those 35 years have been in Vrindavan. last 15 years, half the time I was there, the first 20 years, all the time I was there. So majority of the last 35 years, I've been in Vrindavan, and you make so many friends. You know, when I came, immediately I went next door, that Indrajumna Swami is there. He was out. But I went upstairs, I took darshan, a beautiful temple on the roof of his Radha Govinda, and I paid my obeisances to Radha Govinda. I paid my obeisances, and revelation was there. How potent is Vrindavan to change the heart? I was in the West for 7 months. I feel like the 7 months in the West and the service that I did was almost a qualification to be in Vrindavan. I felt it's such a special place and felt the effect of Vrindavan. And now, after a week in Vrindavan out here in Govardhan, and senior Vaishnavas are beginning to congregate, for example, Boo will be my neighbor. Sachinandana Swami will be in Govindakund, I don't know, some ashram there that he has, doing his bhajan, and Keshav Bharti, guys, Raisa Marj K, and others will come soon. I'll be here, and I'll be, I was going to prepare right before the class, but I'll tell something of the story, and I can get more into the details. This Krishna Leela. Leela means to play. There's no other cause of the activity. If you look at our activities, they're caused by objectives that we have, obligations we have, or duties we have. Because we want to achieve something that we don't have. But because the divine absolute reality is full in itself, there is no cause for work other than the sense of pleasure. And it's described, it's like a child. A child has no other, the child doesn't work out of pleasure. The child plays. So Leela is play. It's the play of God. I'm lecturing on this Kaliya Leela because one thing, I think it's a very, very deep pastime. I just thought my phone stays, the lights went out. But anyway, I think it's pretty much charged. It's one of the few pastimes where Krishna is relating in one leela to all the devotees at once. The beautiful description at the beginning of the Bhakti Rasa Mrita Sindhu of Krishna. This concept of divinity is so sublime, it's so beautiful. The concept of divinity is Akila Rasamrita Murti. It's the form, Akila Rasamrita, of complete Akila Rasamrita Murti. It's the complete form or embodiment, Akila Rasamrita Murti, of Rasamrita, of the nectar of Ras, or full blooming of love and devotion. That's the full manifestation of God. And our understanding of that is very, very sweet, that God does not have the defect of impersonality. You cannot take away, it does not have, that's a defect. In our conception of things, impersonality is a defect. So it means that absolute reality, the supreme absolute reality, has the full capacity to exchange love. In the five ways in which love are exchanged, which is shanta, you love in appreciation of someone who is very, very great. It's a love without service. A group or something, your love is just an appreciation of something very great, and then there's a sense of servitude, prabhuta gyan, the sense that you're great and I want to serve you. Of course, seva is the, or service is the basis of all relationships. The desire to please. And therefore, because there's the desire to please, there's the desire to offer what is best. Whenever there is true seva, there is a sense of beauty in the act. And you please someone through the senses. Wanting to please makes offerings of pleasure to the best that they can. And therefore, everything that's offered, even if it is not the best thing, but it's the best that someone can offer, it's a beautiful manifestation of love. So all relationships have that mood of seva, the desire to please the object of one's service. And then there is friendship, a beautiful sense of equality. Then there's a parental type of love, which has a sense of mercy or kindness. And then there's the conjugal sense of love, which has all other types of moods, but also a very deep, special intimacy of a full revelation of one's heart without any inhibition. So all those types of love or devotion Krishna is experiencing in this lila, and that's what lila is. Lila is the play to exchange love, and Krishna is the worthy object of love. The residents of Vrindavan, they love Krishna, and there's even the environment. The world, it's a world of love, full love and devotion, selfless, pure love. That's what Vrindavan means. And to experience that, one has to be in the mood of service. You can't experience devotion if you're not in the mood of service. And what's the mood of service? That the mood of service means that the primary objective or desire in your heart is the desire of pleasure of another. It's the complete selfless position. And this is the conception of Vrindavan, that this is beautiful, selfless mood. And that mood of love or pleasure is the energy behind the environment of Vrindavan. We'll see one of the pastimes, but I know my favorite part in that pastime of Krishna killing the Dainakasura demon is that beautiful description of Krishna entering Vrindavan and how just the atmosphere of Vrindavan, the energy, everything is moving for the pleasure of Krishna. Even the air is moving for the pleasure of Krishna. So the air moves and the air comes across the beautiful clear lakes to carry the fragrance of the flowers for the pleasure of Krishna. And in the heat of the summer, it's carrying the droplets of crystal clear, cool water for the pleasure of Krishna. So the vayena, the air, jushtam, has the mood of service. So that's the mood of Vrindavan. That's the spiritual consciousness. And you see that in the true residents of Vrindavan. I remember years ago, the famous Saint Ramesh Baba, and I somehow got stuck at the train tracks for about an hour and a half. It was a long train, and we got late. So we couldn't do the parikram, because if we did that, would be closed. So we had to go directly up to the temple, which is usually the end of our parikram, and then work our way backwards. And we got to Mankutir, a famous place of Radha and Krishna's pastimes, one of the hills of Varsana. I'm envisioning now in my mind the beauty of that place. I have to get out to Varsana. The beauty of the place and the beauty of the people. They're in a mood of intense service. I mean, it's really special. And when we got there, we just did kirtan, each midday, and everybody rests midday. So in India, midday is not people out. In New York, midday is when everything is rushing, but in India, it kind of stops. And you're hearing that statement, only mad dogs and Englishmen go out into the midday sun. So we went up there, and it was very beautiful. Then one of the disciples mentioned, you want to see Babaji? He said, sure. And I have a sense, I hope I have developed a sense of consideration. I was a little hesitant. You don't go to see someone at 1:30 in the afternoon. And they take us up, and it's a hill, and then it's kind of like a high, several-story temple, and on the top is his room. And so he has windows on four sides, basically, and you can see the whole Braj. And we went in. He brought us right in when his guru was eating. He was sitting on his bed in the middle of the room, and he was eating. But immediately when he saw us in the mood of Vrindavan, immediately said, is there any service I can do for you? That is the position by which the divine energy of Ladini Shakti, love of Godhead, flows through one's heart. When one becomes self-absorbed, it doesn't flow. I've seen Krishna, and they go to Radhakund, and they try to enter into a path where all the beautiful leelas are explained. And but I've never seen such poor results spiritually when people do that, because they don't enter from the platform of service, and therefore they have no frame of to appreciate and enjoy the pastimes. Because the pastimes of Radha, the pastimes of Krishna, they are the exemplification of love. Although they have a form that's similar to the forms of the activities of the world, but again, the classic example is given of Radha and Krishna embracing. Or you have these gopis and their sidelong glances. But the bhava or consciousness behind this is nothing that one wants for oneself. They only want to please their beloved. when he really has that sense of service, when one is actually a humble person and in the mood of service, when one hears about those pastimes, what they see is service. Remember, we're talking about Andrew's passing away. Unfortunately, this great soul died in such a horrible way, in one sense. Cooking in his room, his stove blew up, the room was on fire, he was stuck in the inferno. The room took the gas that blew up, the fire took out all the oxygen, and he suffocated. But the point was, what was the internal story? So, to see the real story of Vrindavan, and this is why Prabhupada, and he, you know, stressed this so much, to see the real story of Vrindavan, one has to have the bhav of service. And then, hearing about these pastimes, one will see the love, one will see the devotion, and one will become profoundly affected in heart by hearing those pastimes. To the extent that in the 10th canto, when Krishna's dancing with the gopis is explained, the tree become rasa, what is it, vajra-vajubir, when it's described, it says, when you hear the tree become, Krishna playing with the gopis, when you see the Krishna playing with the gopis, and you hear that with faith, faith in service, faith in bhakti. What does faith in bhakti mean? What is bhakti? What is bhakti? What is devotion in our heart? It is the conception to serve God. And it's not only the conception to serve God, it's the experience that comes from the application of that conception, which leads to the realization of that conception. And when one has that mood of service, when one has that faith, and then one hears the pastimes, even the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna, it cures one of any material desire, even sex desire. It cures one of those desires. It cures one of any desire that, you know, for me. Any desire that's antithetical to pure selflessness in the heart. It cures oneself because one sees in those pastimes of Radha and Krishna, one sees in those pastimes the beauty of what love really is. The beauty of what it is to exclusively keep within your heart the pleasure and desire of the object of your own love. You see that. You know, it's Radha and Krishna, the Astika Sakhi. Radha and Krishna are there. Krishna is holding his flute. Radharani is to the left side of Krishna in her beautiful dark blue sari. And she's leaning her shoulder, her head on Krishna's shoulder, and one hand, her left hand, is even also holding Krishna's flute, and Krishna's in his threefold bending form with his golden dhoti and his cascading black hair and the Vaijayanti garland, the beautiful garland made of love by the residents of Vrindavan, of five different colored flowers, intricately woven with incredible fragrance. And surrounding him are the Astakasakis, beautiful gopis with musical instruments, and they're under a kadamba tree, and they're by the bank of the Jamuna River. And when one sees that picture, they don't see it from a material frame of reference. They don't see it, what is their experience of those exchanges. But they see it in a new light. They see it in the light of the most selfless, beautiful, sweet love, which the person viewing it has a drop of experience of by his selfless service in devotion. And that's the most beautiful thing to see, the devotion of Krishna. So I'm really looking forward to this month of Kartik. It's the month of Radharani. This year I started my Vrata from the Ekadasi. Prabhupada mentions in the Nectar of Devotion that you can start it from the Ekadasi. And, you know, I think part of the Vrata is I will speak on the fast time. The lights kind of went out in my room, even though it shouldn't, because I have an inverter battery, but maybe, I don't know why, there's no electricity now, but it's a little hard to see the page, and I can't see my notes that I took, but we'll start. Okay, it's probably there. It's already 9 o'clock here, huh? I'll go a little bit. Sukadeva Swami said, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, seeing the Jamuna River had been contaminated by the black snake Kaliya, desired to purify the river, unless the Lord banished him from it. So, very interesting mysterious reference. That God is drinking constantly a flow of love. And the love that he's drinking, it's like a beverage. It's a subtle beverage love. We should all drink love and devotion. But that beverage of love, it has two qualities. It's very intense, that love, and it's very, very appropriate. And the intensity of that love comes from the lila, which churns these different emotions of love. Now, in the lila, here the particular lila, has an element of being a horror movie, because there's incredibly headed serpent who's full of envy, and a snake is somehow full of envy. I had a friend had a house out in the jungle in Puri. It was on the ocean, but kind of out there, and he went down to the basement and he saw a cobra. So he thought, let me get a stick and try to kill it. He walked in, and he raised the stick, and that snake, he described this to me, that snake got its hood and had such an energy of hate and envy, ready to strike. I mean, it got back. He just, you know, he said it was horrifying. So, you know, that snake will grab Krishna in the coil for 48 minutes, and it's horrifying. But it creates, it's connected to love in the sense that there are 8 secondary rasas. I explained this before, that, in this intensified love of Krishna that's manifest, when there is danger to the one's beloved, and one fears for the life of one's beloved, is consumed in fear. But what actually that fear is, it's an expression of their relationship with Krishna. If they're a mother, what is the fear? It's their motherly love, which has taken this other dimension. But there would be no fear if there was no love. You know, if they didn't love Krishna and Krishna was in the coil, or another circuit, let's say someone that is your enemy is in danger, or someone that's in evil is in danger, it is no fear. It's like imagine there was a building burning, right? And if your child was in there, you'd be feeling fear. But if Adolf Hitler was in the building, you'd be feeling joy. You wouldn't be feeling fear at all. So the fear, it's not an emotion in itself. It's related to the object of your love. And if there's no love, there's no fear in love. So it's called Boyaras. It's the love is expressed through fear. It's a particularly intensified expression of that love. So here, when it describes the river being contaminated by the Krishna means black, Krishna Hina, the serpent, when the river has that black, so it's setting the scene that this is actually. And Krishna is described as Vibhu, the Almighty Lord, so he's going to accomplish many things at once. He kills the Kali serpent, but he also saves the Jamuna, which is actually being polluted. And the Jamuna, the river, is the life of the place, is the river. When I went to Croatia and I saw that the rivers were still crystal clear, I thought, how wonderful. You know, imagine New York City if the Hudson River hadn't been polluted. Imagine how opulent that would be if the water in the Hudson was crystal clear. When water is crystal clear, you can see the fish. You can see the bottom. Sometimes they clean up these rivers in Vrindavan. There's restoration projects. You go to Palan Sarovara, and you look down and you can see the clarity of it. It's a beautiful thing. And when that river becomes polluted, what to speak of the poison of the Kaliya serpent, it affects the whole life of everyone. It affects the life of everyone. And whose life is it affecting? It's the residents of Vrindavan. And who are the residents of Vrindavan? They're ones that are imbued with love for Krishna. And Krishna wants them to have all facility to express their love. So Krishna not only kills the Kaliya serpent, because he's Vibhu, he's almighty, but not only kills, but he actually purifies Vrindavan. And I know even modern-day saints, they're very concerned with protecting the environment of Vrindavan. Because there must be a field for love to be expressed. There must be a field of activity. The Vrindavan is that field where bhakti grows. So they are concerned when there's the same saint, Ramesh Baba, there's hills in Vrindavan, sacred hills. And the mining companies are crushing the hills to get their you know, whatever they mine from it. And they're very, very ruthless. And they've been doing it for years. And this Ramesh Baba, I think he's also, he finally got so fed up. He's been fighting it for 30 years that he went to that place and decided to take a Manavrata and fast until death. And all the Nayendra went there, And Andrew went there with kirtan and did kirtan. And then different people were speaking. And one devotee lady who comes from Bosnia in Sarajevo. And if you know the story there, the Serbs, were, when Yugoslavia broke up, the Serbs wanted to take over the whole country. I mean, there's Croatia, there's Slovenia, there's Bosnia, there's different parts. They wanted to take it over. So they laid siege to Sarajevo. That means it's in a valley, it's an ancient city, and they surround it. There's hundreds of thousands of bombs. I know the devotees that lived there during that time, mixed faith in God. And this one girl told this story how, you know, her story was when she was young, to save her life, her parents had to throw her in the trunk of a car and flee the country if with threat of, you know, the parents naturally loved their daughters. So she was crying and she told her story how she was young and how she lost her country. She lost her country. She was crying and how she lost her country. And now she said, Vrindavan has become her home. And then she broke into tears and said, now Vrindavan is also being ravaged. She was talking about the mining that was going on. And she broke into tears because Vrindavan became her home. She lost her home once and now she... And it was such a beautiful speech. From a girl born in a Muslim family who took shelter of Vrindavan and took shelter of Krishna, that Ramesh Baba, he's single, he signaled with his hands because he is no longer going to be talking. And they gave him the mic and he says, and he started saying, I'm doing something that I had never done ever before in my life. I am breaking my vow, and I will now speak. He was so moved by her speech. And right after that speech, in Ramesh Baba's thing, the government, the mining companies had to cave in, and the government supported and sent 1,000 troops to protect the mountains. But anyway, this Kaliya pastime also indicates that the field is important. The field supports love. The environment supports love. That's what Vrindavan is. That's why Vrindavan, where the supreme love is manifest, is pastoral. Pastoral. It's not corporate. You know, it is there that Krishna can be himself. He doesn't have to hide behind his position of God, where he, to relate with those who are subordinate to him and have that wonderful feeling of awe and reverence, covers his intimate side as a child. He's accepting the mercy of his mother as a lover. He's revealing his heart there to Srimati Radharani, and as a bosom friend who is defeated in games and sports by his own friend, out of that intimacy of love. So Vrindavan, Krishna will kill the Kaliya serpent, and what to speak of the rasa that is there. Now, another reason, and I'm going a little bit more. Another reason why I picked this pastime, I don't know where I'll go next. I have to get my library together, see what books I have. But I'm pretty excited to continue now this Krishna Leela on Wednesday. I really am. And I can go through the whole book and all the stories of the Pent Canto. The time I was to prepare. But the reason is because I mentioned to you that Alex, some of you know him, is a professional actor. Quite accomplished. We're working on a presentation of Krishna Leela. And his humble observation of Krishna Leela done in the modern way by ISKCON, I guess, and others, is that what it lacks is that real drama has a deep development of character, not just a story that is told, but a deep development of character. And that's what Vrindavan is. There are intense emotions by real people, which offer a unique expression of love through their personality to Krishna within the context of the things that they go to and how they respond. So they're actually personalities. Pastimes and activities that happen. And it's very, very moving to actually see. I mean, if you look at parental love, and you understand what Nanda Maharaj is going through, but it's not just a karmic thing. There's actually a potency within his heart. It's the bliss potency. It's a beautiful, this concept of the absolute reality. It's the absolute reality. It's Advayam Gan. It's consciousness. Nothing is outside of the absolute reality. But the absolute reality is not devoid of shakti or potency. Parasya shaktai vidhidaya siyate. And that potency or the energy, the shakti that comes from the absolute reality is to please the absolute reality, because that's what potency or energy is. It serves its source. So God is the source, and there's energy. And the energies are to serve. The energies are to please that absolute reality. So the essence of the energy is this pleasure, this bliss. The essence of pleasure is this bliss potency of love. That's what pleasure is. It's Ladini Shakti. It's a Shakti, a potency of love of God. And if it's in our heart, we're pleased. That's what actual thing gives us pleasure. The mood of selflessness and the energy of love of selflessness that flows from our hearts purely and selflessly to God and others. So that potency is within God, but for God to enjoy it, it has to have a sense that it's coming from outside of God, which is impossible in one sense, because God is inclusive in everything. But within God are his parts and parcels, are his shaktis, are his energy, where that energy can flow back towards God, as if it's coming from outside his being. And we're meant to be receptacles of that, what real spiritual life is. Real spiritual life is to cleanse the heart of selfishness, to make the heart a suitable receptacle for love and devotion to flow from the heart to the divine. Therefore, all spirituality is a condition of the heart. It's not an exercise. It's not an understanding or a knowledge, ultimately. It's a feeling of selflessness and devotion. And that is exemplified in its full manifestation in Vrindavan. If you see Nanda Maharaj, the energy is flowing from his heart of love for Krishna. And therefore, when it appears that Krishna is in difficulty, one second, someone's at the door. Be right there.
Coming here.
That's no problem.
Now I went away, and I thought maybe someone wants you. I came, and I said thank you.
Okay, just sit down for. May Krishna desires to purify because Vrindavan is serving Krishna fully. It's supporting it's the field of love being expressed. It needs a field. And Krishna banishes him from it. So the first verse is the and it's contaminated by the black snake, and then we'll see the leela. And again, it's a special leela. If the gopis are in the leela, the coward boys in the leela, the parents are in the leela. And we'll actually see God in full glory. Which is that, Akila Rasa, we'll see Rasa, a full embodiment of devotional love flowing, because they're all seeing Krishna in this condition. And like I say, Nanda Maharaj in his heart, that love, and then when he sees the omens, because Vrindavan is moving for the pleasure of Krishna, if there's a sense that Krishna is not being pleased, what to speak of Krishna danger, the whole Vrindavan reacts. There's signs, there's omens. It's actually a fact, there are omens. I tell people about my left eye. When there's trouble, the left eye of the men, the right eye of the women in Vrindavan were. And that was, oh my God, what's happening with Krishna? My left eye is tuned. It's uncanny. It is tuned to my destiny. And when my left eye is switching, I'm just waiting for the call. What's going on? But when it's connected, that's connected with me, so there's no love in it. My left eye twitches. Oh my God, what's going to happen to me? There's no love. But if my left eye was tuned to, like, Krishna, and Krishna's in trouble, then, oh my God, then there's love. That's the difference between material and spiritual. Material, it's all about ourselves. Spiritual, it's all about others. And ultimately, about God. So when there's danger, there's love. Not, you know, I don't want to die. I'm too young to die. It's not about ourselves. Okay, there's a lot more I wanted to say. I'm in Vrindavan. I'm going to be reading. I hope not too many people left because I screwed up the time. I was in. You know, I've been doing it for 4 years, so it's always been 9 o'clock. Then I shifted it to 8 o'clock, and then I stopped it. So by lucky Krishna's grace, he sent me a message, and I was out. Hope we didn't lose too many people. But in Brihadbhagavatamrita, there's just one thing that just was really, you know, when Krishna was in separation from the residents of Vrindavan and grabbed Balaram, he was just sobbing to hear how they were suffering, falls to the ground, loses consciousness. And Lord Brahma, who's the governor of the universe, comes. And that's his guru, and it's his father. And because it's his guru and his father, he never saw the intimate side of God. He never saw the intimate side of God. The lover sees the intimate side of the person. Not the servant or the boss never sees the intimate side. So Krishna means seeing the intimate side of God. He never saw it. He was working in the government. And Krishna was his guru, Krishna was his father, Krishna was his boss. And he's just old. He begins to cry. He's so sober. That's what Brahma means. He's the ruler. He's so sober. He begins to cry. We also see in the Brihadbhagavatamrita when Krishna came to Vrindavan and the queens who had intimate with Krishna, but they knew he was in Dwarka, he was the king. But he was the king, so the intimacy was always kind of checked. The intimacy was checked. He was the queen. And the queens, you know, the king, there's some reverence. When they saw Krishna in New Vrindavan, see. They saw a side of their husband that they never saw before. A full revelation without any reverence of intimacy. So it's such a beautiful. Fully and how beautiful it is. So that's Vrindavan. Okay, there's no time for questions. This is I said a little bit of a screwed up time. I started maybe 15, 20 minutes late. And then I was trying to get on, and the access code that I have that mutes everybody, you can't. And they say sometimes on a touch phone when it's a international call, if you don't really press the button down hard, it may not register because the reception is not as good. So I kept on pressing that, and that did even further. But thank Lucky for his heads-up thinking to get that message to me, because I would have been devastated if I missed this class again. Because I'm very close with all the people that listen, and I'm also very attached that this goes well. I know sometimes the success of my phone Sundays have been 4 years and running, is that come hell or high water, it's an English expression, we keep them up. And that conditions people that this happens regularly. And when people give phone Sundays, they give sometimes, and then sometimes they don't because people travel and things like that. Then, I want to condition people. I give it every Sunday morning and every Wednesday evening. So Sunday morning, people will just be their church. People go to church. They don't schedule other things. Americans go to church. They go to church on Sunday. Those people, and they go every Sunday. It's not like they have something else. Because the pastor is there every week. If it happens 1 week and not a week, and then there's so many other things. So I become protective of this. I missed it so often in the last 4 months adjusting to my new life as Pati Vrajakacharya, moving around. Would anyone like to say hello? So I know that there's some people that are still there. Anybody like to say hello?
Hello, Maharaj.
Hello.
Who is that? Who is that?
A bunch of people.
Hare Krishna, this is Malone.
Malone, great, thank you. Great for coming on and it's a career. Great. Please try to join us on Wednesday.
This is Jennifer.
Oh, Jennifer, thank you. Oh,
thank
great.
You.
I'm glad. What?
Thank you.
Is that thank you, Jennifer.
Yeah,
Jennifer, is coming. She's on, heard me speak at Yoga Maya, and now she'll join the Sundays too. Thank you, Jennifer, for coming on.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, and hopefully we'll see you Sunday morning too, if you're free on this.
Yes.
Great.
Yes, I can't wait.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you.
Have a great week and have a great day.
And hopefully one day you'll visit us here in India. Thank you. Okay,
I
Malone, Jennifer, I heard you. Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you so much. So, and Malone, because I visit her house, now I can envision where you're listening from the classroom, too. So that's nice. Anybody else like to say hello? It's Gail. I heard Rusty. Who else?
Hare Krishna,
this is Rajarade. I should tell people there that Bharati and Govardhan are no longer Bharati and Govardhan. Bharati is Rajarade Devi Dasi, and Govardhan is Govardhan Bhakti Dasi. Okay, anybody else like to say hello? Okay. Anyway, I feel that now set up here in India, I'll be able to give these classes regularly. Thank you all for listening. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.